The portion of scripture for a meditation in this morning is recorded for us in the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 60, beginning with the first verse. This is our first lesson for today, this Epiphany of our Lord. Dear friends in Christ, it's Saturday morning, about 10 o'clock. The sun is shining. It's warm out. It's a nice day, and there's a lot to get done outside. But your teenagers, they're sleeping. They're making good use of those blackout curtains in their rooms. Their alarm on their phones that you made them turn on last night went off hours ago, but that still didn't cause them to get up. They're still sleeping. So what do? Well, you burst into their room, you yell, "Rise and shine," you open up the curtains, maybe even the windows. You're going to hear some moaning and groaning. But eventually, that light shining in their previously dark room is going to cause them to get up and go about their day. Today is not necessarily God's wake-up call for us, but it is a call for us to wake up and see the light of Christ, and to see all the blessings He gives us day after day. When Isaiah wrote this book, he was prophesying about the future. This is one of the last chapters in the book of Isaiah, and by this time, he had already prophesied about the Babylonian captivity, an event that wouldn't take place for over 100 years after Isaiah wrote. But eventually it did happen that the people of Judah and Jerusalem were taken captive. Now Jerusalem, the entire city was destroyed. The temple was destroyed. Many of the people were killed. And those that were left, those that remained on three separate occasions, were taken as captives to a foreign land in Babylon where they lived in exile. Isaiah looked to the future and saw the people living in exile as if they were living in darkness. The people would mourn that they were ripped from their homes, that their loved ones had died, that their temple was gone. They would mourn that God had forsaken His people, that God had rejected him, that He, it seemed, had forgotten about them forever. Now, it was a punishment of God. They had gone after the false gods of the Canaanites. They had rejected the one true Lord and worshipped those idols. Failed to obey God's commands. So darkness hung over the people, not only that they're living in a foreign land as captives, but also that they brought it upon themselves. It was a result of their own sin. And they faced the consequences of their actions. Their world was dark. So was our world. Isaiah writes, "The darkness covers the earth." Now this is the darkness of sin and unbelief. The whole world is covered in this darkness of sin. There's nothing that isn't tainted by sin. Everything that causes trouble, anything that causes our lives to be dark, that causes us sorrow, pain and sickness and disease and being mistreated and being made fun of and unbelief and death, all of it is caused by sin. All one has to do is look around at the world today and see all the wickedness, see all the violence, the hatred for each other, the hatred for God's word, the hatred for those who obey God's word, and all one has to do is look around and see clearly the world is covered in the darkness of sin. And it's also the darkness of unbelief. Now, a heart that doesn't know God or believe in God is a heart that is blind to the way of salvation. And it is a heart that doesn't obey God, but only contributes to the godlessness and the wickedness of this dark world. Isaiah continued, "Deep darkness covers the peoples." Now it's still the same darkness, the darkness of unbelief and sin. There is not just darkness, but a deep or thick darkness that covers over us because we are all sinners. It doesn't matter how good you are, or how good you try to be, or how happy and cheerful you are, or how much love you try to bestow on others. A deep, dark cloud still covers us. And it's not like some puffy white cloud, but it is the kind of cloud that shows up on warm summer nights or warm summer days, the kind of cloud that causes the street lights to come on and warns you that trouble is coming and you better seek shelter. And doesn't just follow us over our head like some cartoon. Rather, it envelops us. It's part of us. This deep, dark, thick cloud. Some of us might take an exception to such a description. I'm a good person, you say. I strive to do what is right. I strive to show love to others and so on. And yeah, that would be correct. You now, as a Christian, strive to do those things. But that's not how we are by nature. That's not how we are from birth. Enemies of God, hostile to Him, who cannot do anything pleasing to God or obey His commands by birth. That deep, dark cloud envelops all of us naturally. We don't gravitate to God's word. We don't gravitate into doing what is right. We seek our own self. We seek to do our own pleasures, satisfying our own wants and desires. And so we'll often join in the dark deeds of the world. By nature, we're nothing different than the rest of the world. A thick cloud of darkness of unbelief and sin envelops us all. Now when it's dark outside, you can turn on a light, use a flashlight or something of that sort, and that helps to a certain extent. But it doesn't remove the darkness. We turn the light off and it's dark. Once again, the only solution to darkness is the sun's rays when it comes up at dawn. The only remedy for sin's darkness and unbelief's darkness is the light of Christ, the Son of Righteousness. Isaiah writes, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is dawning upon you. The Lord will dawn upon you, and His glory will be seen over you." This light is Christ. He brings the light of forgiveness through His gospel, which is received through faith in Him alone. He paid for our sins by suffering and dying on the cross. He gave us His perfect life that He lived for us, and by His resurrection from the dead, we have that gift of eternal life. Through Him and Him alone, we are saved. His gospel brings us this message. His gospel shines the message of free and full forgiveness into a world darkened by sin and unbelief. As great as that darkness is, Christ's light is greater. He alone is the answer to the darkness of unbelief that dwells in our hearts by nature. He removes those sins and gives us His perfect life, and so we are no longer light, dark, but we are light. Like the sun rising in the east at dawn and shines its light and on a darkened world, so Christ shines the light of His gospel, the light of our salvation, on this sin-darkened world. He has overcome the darkness of unbelief and sin in this world and in our hearts. And not only is Christ called light, He is also called the glory of the Lord. Now that term, this glory of the Lord, is used throughout scriptures, especially in the Old Testament. And He shows up on numerous occasions. For instance, it was the glory of the Lord who was in the pillar of fire by day, and the pillar of cloud by day, and the pillar of fire by night that led the people in the wilderness. This glory of the Lord dwelled in the tabernacle, that is the portable temple when they weren't moving through the wilderness. It was the glory of the Lord that was on the top of Mount Sinai when He gave the Ten Commandments and other laws to Moses. The glory of the Lord is a manifestation of God's presence. And it's an indication of God's love that He was with His people and that He was about to act for or against His people. The glory of the Lord, when the glory of the Lord is talked about, it often appears in a cloud or something of the sort, a bright and brilliant, but in a cloud. No, if it's a manifestation of God's glory, if it's an indication that He is present, but the problem is we're so simple, we're so darkened by sin and unbelief that we cannot look upon God in His full glory and live. So even though God reveals Himself to us in the glory of the Lord, He has to hide Himself to protect us. And that's what we see at Christmas. That's what we see in Jesus. The hidden glory of God. John writes in his gospel, "The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." In Christ, we see the glory of God. Just as in the glory of the Lord, that glory was hidden, so God's glory is hidden in Christ, hidden in the flesh of mankind. We see glimpses of that glory, like when Jesus indicates He knows all things, or when Jesus performs miracles. At the end of this season of Epiphany, we will celebrate His transfiguration, when Jesus gave a glimpse to His inner circle on that holy mount. But for the most part, God's glory remained hidden in the human flesh of Jesus. Well, that's why we came at Christmas, isn't it? To see the God-man, Jesus Christ, to see God who took on flesh, was born of a virgin. That's what the wise men came to see. They didn't come to see some baby born in Bethlehem. They came to see the Savior of the world, a new king, the King of Kings, both God and man at the same time. And that's what makes Christmas such a great and happy day. God took on flesh. God came down to live among us. God came to be our Savior. A Savior has been born to us. And Christ, that gift that we receive as a Savior. It's not just a one-time thing. It's not some event that we see until next year. Now, this gift is a lasting gift, a gift that we use day after day, and a gift that lasts into eternity. At Christmas, songs of praise, joy and gladness. That's our attitude day in and day out. That's our attitude each and every day of the year, each and every Sunday. Because this gift of Christ, this gift of salvation, is one that is ours each and every day and one that lasts forever. The house was full on Christmas Eve. We had over 40 visitors on Christmas Eve. How'd you feel on Christmas Eve? Happy? Were you happy that so many people got to hear the gospel, that we had a full house? Or were you a little upset? Were you annoyed that someone was sitting in your spot or parked in your parking spot? Of course you're happy. Of course you were glad that so many people joined in praising our Savior. Of course you were happy. Of course you were glad that so many non-members got to hear the Christmas message of salvation through faith in Christ alone. And we'd be happy any day of the year to welcome all those people again. Isaiah writes, "Nations will walk to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Look up, look all around and see. All of them are gathered. They come to you. Your sons will come from far away, and your daughters will be carried on the hip." Isaiah sees people flocking to Jerusalem. Jerusalem that was destroyed. Jerusalem that was living in darkness. Jerusalem would eventually have Christ. Would eventually have the gospel. And that gospel of Christ that shined so brightly, that shone upon the city, was like a beacon that summoned people from all over the world. Jews and Gentiles alike would come to Jerusalem. Literally, it would come to the gospel of Christ. Like insects being attracted to a light on a summer's night, so are people attracted to the gospel. People of all nations. Just as many visitors that we had on Christmas Eve was a welcoming sight, all those people coming to Jerusalem because of Christ and His gospel was a welcoming sight to the Jews. Our work and labor in the Lord of spreading that gospel is not in vain. It's like a beacon that calls out to the people, and all people of all nations will be brought to the brightness of His dawn. And so we do all we can to share that Christmas joy year in and year out, day in and day out, so others may join us in singing the praises of Christ. Through the gospel, God added more and more people to His church, Jews and Gentiles alike. And we will see the perfect example of this in the next 2 weeks. First, this week, Kayla will be confirmed. She will stand up here and confess her faith in the Lord. In a world living in darkness, in a world that doesn't always confess their faith in the Lord, or most people don't have faith in the Lord, in a world that chooses science and reason and logic or society over what God's Word says, she will confirm her faith in all of God's Word. God has worked through her, through the gospel, into her heart to confess her faith in all of God's Word, to reject what society and science and reason and logic says. God willing, next week we'll have a baptism. God still is adding to His church and our church. Now, these are great occasions. Don't just pass over them or barely blink an eye about them just because you don't know or have a personal connection to those who are being confirmed or being baptized. God is adding to His church. People are being saved and forgiven. The truth is being taught and people are believing. Those who were once in darkness are living and basking in the light of Christ's gospel, in the forgiveness of sins, in His free salvation. Be joyful. Rejoice that the Lord is adding to our family of faith, that you are gaining brothers and sisters in Christ. Those Gentiles who were brought to faith, who poured into the streets of Jerusalem, they weren't just believers by name only. No, they had fruits of faith. Isaiah writes, "They will carry gold and incense. They will announce the good news of the Lord's praises." They sang the praises of the Lord. They were once in darkness, but they had seen the light. They were once in unbelief, but now they have been brought to see the way of salvation. And they couldn't contain themselves. They had to share their faith. They had to tell others about what Christ has done so they too may see the light. And they gave gifts to the Lord. Now, of course, when we think about Gentiles giving gifts to the Lord, especially when incense and gold are mentioned, and especially since this is the day of Epiphany, we think of the wise men visiting Jesus and giving Him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But that was only one occasion. For 2,000 years, Gentiles have been giving gifts to Jesus. We do this not to earn His favor, but out of love and thanks to Him. Out of love and thanks for everything He has done for us, and to help support the spread of the gospel, to shine the light of the gospel on a sin-darkened world. The Lord has been doing the same thing for 2,000 years. for thousands of years before. He shines the light of his gospel on a sin-darkened world and sin-darkened hearts. He brings to light what was previously hidden. He makes sinners into saints. He brings to faith and keeps them in faith. He rouses and wakens. The gospel shines in our hearts and the hearts of many others. Let us look around and see the great deeds of the Lord and all that he has done. Wake up and let's see the joy that he gives us day after day. From darkness to light. From unbelief to sin. From death to life. That's what the Lord has done for us. That's the joy we have not just at Christmas, but each and every day. Let that joy dwell in our hearts over and over again. For the light of God's grace shines on us now and forever. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God, that surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.